And this is the awful song that Prince wrote for the Minnesota Vikings called Purple and Gold. Awful. It just got awful.
Are you kidding me?
No, I swear to God.
Hang on, hang on. This is cool.
Have you heard Scott Stapp's Florida Marlins?
No.
He goes, one strike, two strikes.
Oh, God.
You got to hear it. This is worse.
No, this is the worst song I've ever heard.
Sounds like a church song.
Yeah, I know. Here's Rick Spielman on draft day moves.
There's just a lot of moving parts, and it's happening a lot on draft day. You think about all these things as you go through the process, but then when draft day comes, you can go in with a plan, but, you know, it's like game. Things happen, and then you adjust, and you move on the fly.
That's Rick Spielman in his pre-draft press conference today at Winter Park, joined now by a friend of the show, Arif Hassan. He's a writer for Vikings Territory and Vikings Journal. Had a really interesting story at Bleacher Report talking about all the trade scenarios the Minnesota Vikings could possibly make or move around, because you know Rick Spielman's going to do that. That's what he does. He said today in his press conference that he would love to trade back from number 11. Arif, welcome to the program. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, even if it did have to come after that monstrosity.
Well, that's your theme song. Every time you've
that
come on.
That is so bad.
Arif, every time you've come on, that's become your theme song, and I apologize. It's just one of the Viking songs that we have.
It's awful.
But, yeah, it's not good.
You get nightmares over that thing.
Yeah, no good at all. So today, were you at the press conference at Winter Park?
I was, yeah.
Okay, so tell me what you thought of Rick Spielman saying that he wants to trade back from number 11, which I don't think comes as a surprise to anybody that covers the team.
Yeah, I think, you know, knowing Rick, you always have to be a little bit careful when you're parsing his words and like trying to figure out if he's saying, or if he means what he's saying, right? But I think in this case, it's pretty genuine. Every year, he's tried to get 10 picks in the draft. He got 10 this last year, 9 the year before, and 10 the year before that. And the easiest way to get more picks is to trade down from your first round. You can't do that, really, if you trade down from your third-round pick. The easiest way to do that is your first-round pick. And, I mean, the talent landscape of the draft is pretty poor at that pick. Spielman said it himself. There's not a huge difference between, like, the 8th best player and the 20th best player. And so I think it seems fairly certain that the Vikings will want to trade from 11. Whether or not they get good value for it or a suitor for it, that's a different question. But it sounds like they want to.
Arif, when you look at rhetoric from a guy like Rick Spielman, and then everything else from all of us in between, from fans to writers to, you know, there's so many options and discussion and scenarios. Realistically, do you think with players between 8 and 20 being similar, does it really matter to move that pick?
Yeah, well, because if you have a guy at a position of need that's graded as the exact same as a guy that you don't really need that position, say like defensive tackle, I think the Vikings are pretty happy with Free Floyd. But you know that another team wants to trade up to that pick to say, like, I don't know, Malcolm Brown or Danny Shelton or whoever. You know, if the Vikings can move back about 2, 3, 4 picks, still get that cornerback that they want or that defensive end that they want or whatever, and still pick up maybe a 5th-round pick or a 4th-round pick if they're lucky, that can mean a lot, because that 4th-round pick, you know, that could turn into a critical special teams player. Somebody could maybe replace Marcus Sherrills as a returner, or it could turn into a receiver. I mean, Jarius Wright was a 4th-round pick, and I think he's a pretty effective role player.
For sure.
One of your realistic trade possibilities for the Vikings was trade Adrian Peterson for a late first or early second round pick. Do you believe that's realistic? And if you were to gauge, do you think it would happen?
Yeah, I think it's always difficult to say. You know, I just said earlier in this segment that, you know, maybe you should trust Spielman when he says this. And I'm about to say right now, maybe don't trust Spielman when he says
that's the whole deal
about Adrian. I believe the Vikings would be happy to have Adrian Peterson on their roster. That's not the thing I would be wary of. The thing I'd be wary of is how unlikely they indicate they are on trading that pick. I mean, you know, he was asked, "Are you going to trade Adrian Peterson?" He said, "We always want to keep him on the roster." And then, you know, reporters who were there because they're reporters asked a follow-up question. Hey, wait, you didn't actually say whether or not you'd be willing to trade the pick. are you willing to trade the pick? Or are you for sure not going to trade Adrian Peterson? And he said, under contract, and we like him on the roster, and we look forward to having him. So he didn't answer the question. And I think that they could be happy with the kind of compensation you could get from a team that is geared towards winning now. Say, like the Arizona Cardinals, who are pretty close to beating out the Seattle Seahawks in the division, maybe even getting to the Super Bowl, just because they just need a running game to supplement Carson Palmer and that excellent receiving game that they have. So, yeah, I think it's certainly possible.
Wow. We're talking to Arif Hasan, who is a writer for Vikings Territory and Vikings Journal, also a featured columnist on Bleacher Report. And we're talking to him about his article that about the realistic trade possibilities for the Minnesota Vikings. Would you say that it's fair to say that the Minnesota Vikings need to trade back from number 11 if they want to make any of these other draft moves the rest of the weekend? Because it all starts with getting more ammunition, because they really don't have a ton to move around with the 7 overall picks that they have right now, 2 of them in the 7th round.
Yeah, I think they need to trade back if they're really intent on that goal of getting 10 picks. And Spielman emphasized the importance of that today, too. He talked about getting as many people onto the boat as possible. He talked about how, you know, the likelihood of missing sort of in the 5th or 6th round is not all that different from in the 7th round. And so if you just get more picks in those rounds, then you've got a better chance of, you know, finding, you know, a Shamar Stephen, right, who, you know, everyone is pretty happy with as a 7th round pick, or even a Jabari Price, who I thought was a pretty good pickup. You know, you can maximize the possibility of that. And I think Spielman is genuinely committed to the idea of getting as many bites at the apple as possible and getting 10 picks. And I think, you know, you could trade down from the 2nd round, but at that point you're sort of flirting with this value problem, because there's a lot of really good sort of 2nd round value players. But if you trade out of the 2nd round, it doesn't matter how many of them there are, because some of them are going to get picked in the 1st and the rest are going to get picked in the 2nd, and you may price yourself out of a really good player. So I think you probably have to do it in the 1st if you want to minimize your loss and maximize your gain.
We're talking to Arif Hasan. This is the week we've all been waiting for. So exciting, the NFL draft and everything that's been leading up since the Super Bowl, obviously.
This is almost your Super Bowl, isn't it?
No, it is my Super Bowl.
In a weird way.
Absolutely. One of the days that I would love to take off, but it starts at 7 o'clock, so I'll work here today.
Sleepless night. You're not sleeping around.
No, obviously not. No, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday. People are saying, Arif, people are telling me.
Bags under his eyes, just a disaster.
They tell me I have no life because I plan on watching Friday night and Saturday, which are the later rounds in the draft. They aren't the sexy rounds, but I mean, honest to God, it's where the Minnesota Vikings come to in it. Like I said earlier, general manager Rick Spielman, one of the most exciting general managers in the NFL, because he moves up and down and all around. Yes, Pete.
Guys, who's going to be John Gruden's guy? I mean, who's he latching on to this time? Remember last year, Johnny Manziel. He couldn't say, who is it this year? Who's his guy?
I wouldn't be surprised if Gruden, you know, banged the table for another quarterback. But this time, you
surprise.
I bet it's like Brett Hundley. I don't think it's going to be Winston, who's going to go too early for John Gruden to get excited. I don't think it's going to be Mariota because I don't know. Gruden didn't seem super excited about Mariota or Bryce Petty in the QB camp. Who knows? Maybe it's Hundley. Maybe it's Garrett Grayson. Who knows? But I think it's a quarterback. And I think it's just a guy that you're not really going to expect to go early, but he's just going to keep talking about.
Well, Brett Hundley, real quick, and his quarterback camp with John Gruden. I wasn't very impressed with him. He seemed to do what John Gruden was telling him to do, but he just was going along with the flow. Didn't seem to have a brain of his own, and it was really upsetting.
Yeah, it's always like difficult to dissect, what's going on in these Gruden QB camps. I think he's actually a surprisingly good interviewer when you sort of try and break down what he's doing. Because he did a very good job, I think. Bryce Petty, I think, casually, I think he came off looking good. But I think sort of the more you look at it, and you don't want to look at it too deeply, you know, he didn't come off that great. I mean, he's very charismatic, but then he had all of these problems with the protections that Gruden asked him to call. And I think Hundley did a much better job of the things Gruden was looking for. He just didn't come off as like as much of a leader, which of course you want, but that wasn't like a problem at UCLA. Everyone thought of him as a leader there. There's some issues from like maybe a personality perspective, but you know, from evaluating a quarterback, I think Hundley did all right, and I wouldn't be surprised if Gruden got excited about him, even if his personality, you know, wasn't off the charts.
What he does so well that I like Gruden is he'll compliment you with the smile, give you the Popeye look, and then he'll back you into the corner and kind of screw you. I mean, you're just like, you're this kid.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, he's so good at that. I mean, he does it with a smile on his face. It's beautiful. And he's winking. So the question of this quarterback class is, how do you see them matching up with those guys from last year as far as where you'll see them as pros?
Well, it's easy for me to say this now, but I do have it on record, at least on the internet somewhere, that I did have, you know, Bridgewater as my top quarterback and Carr as my second quarterback. And so I think if you take a look at those two as the top quarterbacks, I think that maybe Winston compares. I think he's probably better as a prospect than Carr was, depending on how important these off-field issues are, mm-hmm. or depending on how important sort of the nature of his interceptions this year are. You could argue that he's a better prospect than Teddy Bridgewater. But I think sort of the rest of this quarterback class, and you know, I like Mariota a lot, but I think the rest of this quarterback class doesn't really compare. I think that, you know, when you get to Mariota, I think Carr was probably a slightly better prospect, despite the fact that nearly everybody had at that point in the year ranked Mariota above him. I think, you know, there's no one really comparable to Manziel, at least as not even just in terms of play style, but in terms of just the level of prospect. The third quarterback, be it Petty or Hundley or whoever, doesn't compare to Manziel. I think Bortles had a lot of elite traits. Maybe he doesn't have enough of them, right? But he had some of them. And I think that you don't get any more quarterbacks that have any elite traits. I don't think Garrett Grayson, you know, has them. I don't think Chris Bonner has them. I think they have a bunch of good traits. But at least Bortles had some elite traits, even if he has some fatal flaws elsewhere. So I think it doesn't really compare.
And I think Bortles, Bridgewater, and Carr will outweigh any one of those three you want to pick from this year. Mm. So
I'm just glad,
Vikings win.
I'm just glad we have our quarterback situation
That's
figured out.
That's where I was going
at least
with
for
it.
Right now. It's unbelievable. Arif, the question of the day that Pete Wagner and I have been talking back and forth with the superstar off today. How many picks in the first round do the Vikings end up with on Thursday night?
By hook or by crook, I think it'll be two. Either they'll trade Peterson to get that second pick, or they'll trade, you know, back up into the first round. And, you know, if they trade Peterson, they might be able to actually get a second round pick for the first time in, I think it'll be 4 years.
Yeah, no kidding. Arif Hasan, thank you.
I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, well, no kidding. We really appreciate you coming on the show. A friend of the show, you write for Vikings Territory and Vikings Journal. And then you're also a featured columnist on one of our favorite websites, Bleacher Report. Arif, thank you so much. And Skol Vikings.
All right, thanks for having me.
Yeah, take care, my man.
He never says it back.
What?
Skol Vikings.
Nobody ever says it
only
back to
me. Because you're the only fan on the air.
Well.
The broadcast journalist.
I guess. I don't really know.
I had to call you out on that one.
It's all right. Call me out all you want to.
I can't stand that saying, by the way.
What saying?
Skol Vikings.
Why not? Let's win the game. It's a song. It's a great song.
I can't take it. It is way better than that. Put that Prince thing back on.
No, God.
That thing is just a monstrosity.
Listen to that!
This is supposed to be a song to rile up Vikings fans from Prince.
It's not.
No, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's like 6 minutes long, too. Skol Vikings, look it up. Look up Skol on Wikipedia.
I'm a Catholic guy, and I'm watching the priest walking in right now.
Yeah.
I swear.
Look up Skol and see where it came from. The old Vikings of Norway fame, where they would rape and pillage some sort of town or city or something, and then they would take the skulls and shears, and they would try to get like poison into each other's. It's just it's very intense, very intense. Jim Rich from Fox 9 will talk about the latest from Rick Spielman.
Speaking of intense,
obviously, Rick Spielman in his press conference earlier today, Winter Park. Obviously, the Minnesota Wild 2 and the schedule for round 2 was released earlier this afternoon. Jim Rich, Fox 9, next on 105 The Ticket.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports, 105 The Ticket.
Sacrifice
a live chicken or something.
Oh, I want to be
rich.
Oh, my God,
you. Oh, I want to be rich.
I'm not worried.
Jim Rich, Fox 9, joins us every day at this time with the superstar Mike Morris and me, Ben Holson. Today, filling in for the superstars taking the day off is the very lovely and talented Pete Wagner. Heck of a dealio you got going on over there.
I wanna be rich.
So So we'll talk to Jim Rich when he gets on. He's on the TV right now. He'll join us here in a minute or so.
Do you think he's going Spielman right now? Is he talking about that? I bet he is.
You think so?
Yeah, he's got to be. Little of that, little wild start time, probably a little Twins Tigers.
Well, we'll ask him right now. Jim Rich from Fox 9, what were you on the TV talking about just a second ago?
Well, we were demonstrating to the folks at home the difference between the way St. Louis attacks versus the way the Blackhawks like to attack. St. Louis is a dump and chase team. They'll use their size. They'll try to crash the Wild defenseman. That's what they were successful with in Game 4 when they blew them out. Meanwhile, the Hawks are a puck possession team. They want to hang on to the puck. They want to work the zone. They want to see if they can make something happen. And so the Wild defensemen have to be wary of that. When they gain the line, they're not just going to dump it. They're going to hold up, circle back, wait for reinforcements.
Very much like what the Wild look to do too, Jim, correct? I mean, I think the games mirror themselves. And the interesting thing is, except for one game against the Blues, the Wild defense had no problems with that dump and chase game, did they?
No, they were great at it. They understood what St. Louis was going to do. They were well prepared with the video from the coaches as to where they're going to dump it, how they're going to dump it, who's coming after you. And a lot of it goes back to Dubnyk as well. He'd go out, retrieve that puck, and either set it up for the defenseman or he'd fire it out himself. And he's very comfortable at that. Way better than Kemper and Backstrom ever were at puck retrieval.
But he moves it as well as anybody, no doubt.
But as a fan watching the game, it drives me insane because I'm like, no, what are you doing? You're going to go out of there. He almost allowed a goal, I want to say, on Sunday against the St. Louis Blues because he was out there so far.
Yeah, I think he heard the crowd and he realized, uh-oh, there may be somebody here. I better do something else with it.
At least he didn't turn and fire. You know, that would have been. No, but the Blackhawks, Jim, this is the third series in a row with this team. Even though they were 2-3 this year, it really did feel as though Minnesota had turned a corner and they play well in Chicago. That's not an issue. The home ice thing, I think, is overblown, as we probably would both agree. But I think, you know, if the Wild have a chance to beat Chicago, now is about as good a time as ever.
I think so. There's a couple of things that swing the series in the Wild's favor. And one thing that you recall the first time they met the Hawks, they were totally outclassed. They got blown out 4-1, and it was never a series. And after that, I remember conversations with Zach Parise saying that we have to become more like them. We have to be the puck possession team. We have to make things happen off the rush. You know, he said, we never had the puck that whole series. And so the second time back, they were a little better. And now this team is much better at maintaining possession of the puck, at setting the tempo of the game versus the opponent dictating to them and them trying to react. And, of course, the number one thing is Dubnyk. I mean, he's been lights out. The Wild lost the first three games of the season series against the Hawks. When Dubnyk wasn't there, the last two games, 3-0, 2-1. So in two games against Chicago, they have scored one goal against the Wild with Dubnyk in the net.
It's pretty impressive, pretty stingy. This is Radioactive Sports. We're talking with Fox 9's Jim Rich. Then the other factors are, you know, Bickle, Shaw, even minorly Hossa. These kinds of guys, Hossa's terrific, but they're not Kane, they're not Taves, they're not Sharp.
Hossa had 24 shots on goal in that series against Nashville.
He's
so
insane.
He's feeling it right now.
That scares me. So from that perspective, how about those their depth up front is absolutely equivalent to Minnesota's. I think from 12 forwards, that's about as tight as it gets between those two teams.
Yeah, I think the big difference for the Wild is their third set of defensemen. Last year we rolled in there with Prosser and I don't even know who else was the other guy. This year, your third pair of D, Jordan Leopold, Matt Dumba. That is such a huge upgrade. Those two were able to play in any situation against the Blues, and I don't think Mike Gill is going to worry about matchups when those two are out there during this series against the Hawks. And you look at Chicago, their defense, I think, is weaker now because you have Kimmo Tiiminen, who's 40 years old.
Fossil.
Paired with Michael Roosevelt, who's 36. I mean, those guys, they're not going to be out there 18, 20 minutes. They're going to have to be short-shifted.
We had Mark Lazarus from the Chicago Sun-Times on our show this past Saturday, and those were the two guys, Jim, that he pointed out directly. Yeah, a lot different from what it used to look like on that back line. Now with Letty and a couple of others gone, now he brought up Roosevelt and his age, and he also brought up Thiemann and his age, which is an issue as far as their ability to move as well. But on the Leopold thing, are you a little? I am. I mean, I think I'm surprised with the level of play he has found and is bringing. It's not that he hasn't been great or good, but he's been in and out of lineups over the past year or so, or traded quite a bit. Are you surprised? Like, this has been almost a rejuvenation for him to do it to a degree.
Well, obviously he's rejuvenated because he's playing at home. But two, I think it's what the Wild are asking him to do. And they're not asking him to be that physical force. And he doesn't have to bring it offensively because he's got Dumba, who's all over the rink. So basically, he's the babysitter for Dumba, saying, all right, you go run around. I'll take care of things back here if you mess up. And I think he's really enjoyed this role. And I think, you know what? I think he's thinking, you know what? If the Wild offer me a one-year deal for next season, if this all works out as well as it has this far, I think he's game for it. I think when he first came here, he figured this is a perfect dropping-off point to get to play a few games at home and retire. But the way things have gone for him to this point, I think he's loving it. And I think he may try to get another kick in the can if the Wild will give it to him.
Wow. This is Radioactive Sports. Pete Wagner filling in for the superstar Mike Morris. And we're talking to Jim Rich from Fox 9. Jim, both of you guys are my hockey senseis. I have learned more hockey from talking to you guys than any other anybody else, watching games, whatever. And you both say that there's nothing more important than goaltending in the playoffs. And the Chicago Blackhawks obviously have a little bit of problem going on there. Crawford and Darling going in. Should I not be licking my chops going into round two with that goaltending situation?
Well, both can get hot. Crawford has won a cup, so he can get the job done. And Darling showed his moments, although he's a little green yet. With, he can get to Crawford and get him to start playing musical goaltenders, then they've got a shot. And so, it's going to be on the fans again. Serenade him like you did Allen. You drove him crazy.
Allen.
And I tell you, the Wild players feed off that as well. They sit there and they go, it's awesome to hear that in the building. So any chanting, whether it's about Steve Ott or about the goaltender, they love it. So if you got tickets, if you're lucky enough to go, keep it up. The players do thank you and respect the fan base for their torture of the opponents.
Well, do you remember the Belfour sucks? Where's that one with Crawford sucks? That would be perfect. I mean, you want to ignite a rivalry with Chicago? Just fire that one out of the
Xcel
Energy
Center. Corey.
No,
it'll be Crawford. That's what they did last year. It was this.
But I want that label on the back of it. I want to get back to Secord and Blackhawks and Belfour. Remember? I mean, Jim, was there anything like that?
No, but I'll tell you, Sunday afternoon was the most animated Wild crowd I've seen in a long time.
Really?
They didn't rest. Either it was Let's Go Wild, it was Steve Ott, or it was Allen. Even when they changed goalies, they went with Elliott. Very astute. They were able to figure out that was a new guy in there.
Very astute. Power play. The second power play units looked really good, and I think it's been because of the defensemen, Spurgeon and Dumba. I mean, with the way they've gained the zone and maintained possession, is it okay to make them the number one? I mean, they've been effective. They won't, but I mean, are you seeing the same thing?
Yeah, well, how many times have you talked about that on your Saturday show?
Too many.
Where we would pop Bombardville off the first, put Dumba up there, and then add Granlin where Vanek goes. That's your top power play. If you could pick, cherry pick from both units, that's what I would put together. I'd go with Zach. I'd go with Granny. I'd go with Dumba, Suter, because since Suter can be the passer,
Yeah. Then
you got the guy, and then you got to put a body in front.
I agree with you 100%.
Chicago's knocked the Wild out of the playoffs 2 years in a row. You think that the Minnesota Wild can overcome this year? Because it's just a different scenario. It's a different feeling.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that assessment. And Charlie Coyle, I was talking to him at practice this morning, and he goes, the first year against the Hawks, he's like, my eyes were wide open. I'm like, holy buckets. That's Jonathan Toews. That's Kendrick Kane. Oh, my God. I'm playing at the United Center. This is awesome. And then we got killed. He said, last year they annoyed us. Now this year we're like, okay, we can skate with you. We can, you know, do what you want to do, and we can do it better. He says there's confidence. He says we're not cocky, but we're not in awe of the Blackhawks anymore.
Well, with belief comes results. If you believe that you're as good as them or can play with them yet respect them, you've got half the battle. You go back to what you said in that 4-1 loss a couple of years ago in the series. Like Parise even said today to somebody, or yesterday to somebody, it was along the lines of, you know, we were just glad to be there. You know, and you hear so often about going to the next step. Okay, this is great. We've made it. We've made an impact here. We're moving, and we have to get better next year. Easier said than done, but I do believe that this team firmly believes that. From a fandom perspective, it feels like there's what I would say guarded optimism in this market right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, well, my theory on teams winning championships is you don't usually do it your first crack at a title.
No.
It takes a year to go in there and really realize what the playoffs are all about, what a Stanley Cup run truly is. And, you know, they're learning. They're taking steps, and it's a lot of the same players that were here 2 years ago are still here, and now they're getting a third chance at them. And I think they would be more upset if they lose this series than if they were eliminated by St. Louis.
Just rightfully
because
so.
Of the familiarity, because they've seen them twice, there should be no surprises as what to expect. They should be ready for anything Chicago throws at them.
It's definitely going to be interesting. Jim Rich from Fox 9, thanks for talking to us. Jim, coming up at 6:24, we're going to talk to Phil Pritchard, the keeper of the cup.
Oh,
there's even a song. There's even a song about him.
And it's much better than that Prince song we played for the Minnesota Vikings. But, yeah, the keeper of the cup, the guy in charge of the Stanley Cup, we're going to talk to him at 6:24. Should be super interesting. But thanks for coming on. As always, Jim Rich from Fox 9. We'll watch you on the news for the rest of the night.
Are you finding out if he has any reservations for rooms in Minnesota in June this year?
I'm sure we will.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah. You betcha. Jim, thank you so much, my man. Take care, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, see you, boys.
All right, Hardball with Mike Berardino, talking everything Minnesota Twins, next on 105 The Ticket.
Here for the Minnesota Twins today.
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
The information in their head of his, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him, lead the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Base hit left field. Mauer scores, and it's a one-run game.
Like a breaking ball that stayed up, and Suzuki got the barrel of the bat on it, picking up an RBI, his seventh of the year. It's a 5-4 ball game.
Close but no cigar, Kurt Suzuki in the RBI late last night. Joined now by Mike Berardino, Hardball talking Minnesota Twins baseball, brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins have never tasted this refreshing. Welcome to the program. Thanks for being on.
Well, thanks for having me. When's that mock draft again?
The mock draft is tomorrow.
Wow.
All day.
That all takes that long? Really?
It takes that long.
Well,
32
that's what
picks.
I was wondering, Mike.
32 picks. It's going to be about an average of three minutes per person. It's going to go pretty quick and a lot of information tomorrow. So.
On the clock.
Will trades be allowed?
No trades. No trades are allowed.
That's a big part of it. But
yeah. Otherwise, it just gets too messy. But, I mean, so it'll be fun, though.
Can I? Could I draft for the Dolphins?
If you'd like to.
Yeah.
Seriously?
But do you have some? You probably have Omar Kelly doing it.
I will tell them to go take a hike if you would like to take a draft for the Miami Dolphins.
We'll talk about it later. But no, I'm just joking. But it would be I would be delighted. I'll actually read something before I do it.
get a draft for the fish. That's awesome. Mike, Pete Wagner here. Tonight, the Twins get back at it with the Detroit Tigers. It's Pelfrey versus Sanchez. A couple of right-handers going at it, but this Detroit Tigers team looks awfully, awfully good. Your thoughts so far in the early season for them and the things that Cespedes has done for that lineup?
Well, first of all, they should be good when they spend $250 million on the team or whatever they spend.
Yeah.
But they don't have Scherzer anymore. He's not coming back, and I don't know that Verlander, as we know him, will ever be back. So it doesn't seem to bother them. I think one of the things that's really clear, not just that he's hitting, but Iglesias coming back after missing the year with the weird shin problems. You know, he's a top five defensive shortstop in baseball, and that's really elevated things, especially when they've added ground ball machine like Green to their rotation. So even though they lost Joe Nathan, some would say that at this stage of his career, all due respect for what he achieved in his career, that's addition by subtraction, because it gets Soria into that role. That could have, you know, if Nathan's still available, that probably would have been Nathan's inning last night, and who knows how it would have gone. The Twins had a very nice response to a 4-0 hole. They just couldn't get the W.
That's the exact conversation I was having last night at Target Field. Blessing in disguise, so to speak. I mean, obviously the twilight of Nathan's career, and you can get him back in the closer role there. That and again gets the job done. I think it's 8 saves now. So absolutely. A double play combo for the Twins. Something's been striking me, and I've been really enjoying watching Santana range to the right and really fire off some pretty good double plays with the Dozier in the middle. It feels like there's a little bit of chemistry really brewing there between those two guys.
Well, I know they work very hard. Dozier's not in the lineup tonight because he's getting probably going to get one of these per month, I would think. And I think Molitor picked the right spot because Sanchez is not a good matchup for Dozier. There aren't many people in baseball anymore who have that kind of dominance over Brian Dozier. So, and he looked like he was dragging a little bit. Looked like it in that full count swing last night. He swung at ball 4 from Soria. And that would have been a big base runner just to keep the line moving. But in general, yeah, you're right. Santana's no problem making the throw from deep in the hole. He's got a cannon. We knew that. We saw it even when he was masquerading as a center fielder last year. But as a shortstop arm, that's definitely a plus-plus arm. He and Dozier spent a ton of time this spring doing extra work around those spring games to get more familiar with each other because they didn't have that opportunity really last year. And of course, during BP every day, they continue to work on that. And I think it's coming along. With the thing with Danny is he's going to make his errors. Those continue. What, 5 in 16 games or whatever, but most of them are going to happen on the routine play where he just has a little drop in focus. Just it's almost like a shooter who needs to be contested to make that shot. He wants a hand in his face, but the minute you sag off of him, then it's a brick. That'll happen occasionally with Santana, and over time, as he learns to stay engaged, pitch to pitch, and he's so serious. It's not like he's over there thinking about, you know, what club he's going to go to after the game. He's a complete competitor, wants to be the best he can, takes things too hard, if anything, but he does have those moments in the field individually.
Talking to Mike Berardino.
Who the heck is this?
Yeah.
Who are we talking to?
I swear to God.
You're on the clock. You are on the clock.
Twins baseball. Mike Berardino, everybody. Trevor May got some good news today. He's going to return Thursday versus the White Sox, which is great after taking that line drive to the elbow.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. I think he's really surprised, you know, pleasantly. I just have a little, I don't know, 5% nagging concern here that still was the elbow, even though, like we talked yesterday, it was the exact spot. If he could have picked the very spot that the ball would have struck him, he could have stopped the Seager line drive halfway to the mound and said, just hit me right here. He probably would have picked where he got hit just because he appears to have no ill effects, but it's still in the elbow area. And I just don't know about running him out there, but they have great trainers these days. They have fine medical staff. Molitor's certainly not going to take any chances, and Neil Allen's not going to take any chances. I just know that they have this Ricky Nolasco situation, a riddle, really, out of work him back into the rotation at this stage. And Trevor's going to be honest, but he's definitely not going to baby anything because he does not want to have to go back to AAA. So that, I just hope that works out the way it's supposed to. I don't think it would have been the worst thing in the world to skip him. And in fact, I think they probably would have found a way to skip him, not necessarily send him out, but skip him to buy time. And maybe send out a reliever instead if Nolasco hadn't had his last rehab start pushed back a day. That
that made it, that pushed them offline. And that was based on a 90% rain forecast in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and they need new weathermen in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
No.
Because they played that day. They played two games that day, actually, and Nolasco is now not on. He's one day off with Trevor, so that option was taken away.
So when you mentioned the riddle with Nolasco getting worked back into the rotation, can you solve it? Kind of paint the picture of what you expect?
Geez, I've really tried to figure this out. I think the simplest thing is just to have Ricky go make another rehab start. Sounds crazy to buy a little time because you don't know how to slot in the $49 million pitcher, but it doesn't really fit. And they've already said that Gibson will take the ball on Friday. That would have been Ricky's natural thing. I think Tommy Malone's, his slide here, his two-game slide where his command has not been where it needs to be, which is kind of odd considering how sharp he was in his first game at Chicago this year. He was outstanding, and he had a very good spring. He was very good. Very precise. He needs to be precise. I don't know. Things, as Terry Ryan will tell you, every time you have one of these situations, they kind of solve themselves. Somebody comes up with an iffy something. They also have Dunson coming back soon. They're going to have to make room for him in that bullpen. And that could be as simple as Thielbar going back out, although Thielbar's been very solid since he's been here. So these are good problems to have. But there is no simple solution. The one thing that has been floated that I suppose they could do, but again, it would leave them short in the bullpen for a week. I don't think there are at least a handful of days they don't want to do, is a six-man rotation. You could go to six guys for a bit and just whoever pitches the poorest, you have to figure that out. But Tim Stauffer's velocity is still down, although he's getting outs better. All along, I thought that I could see him ending up on a DL with some sort of shoulder weakness or something, but he says that he feels fine. It's just the fastball isn't coming out the way it normally does.
Well, I think things are looking up, though. Mike Berardino, Twins Baseball from TwinCities.com and obviously Pioneer Press, too. Thank you for coming on today.
Okay, don't forget the mock draft. I know you're kind of, just don't forget me. Just give me a little notice and I will mail that pick for the Dolphins.
Okay.
He wrote it down.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
I'll never forget ever again. Bye-bye now. Brought to you by our good friends at what was I saying?
Nature's Fury.
Nature's Fury, love them to death.
Come on, man, I'm the voice of the
Nutra.
Love
them to death.
Have you had it?
They're fantastic. Yes, they're great.
Outstanding.
Yeah, they're great stuff. How about this? 651-989-9105. 651-989-9105. Best sports facts trivia. We have tickets to go see the Minnesota Twins and tickets to go see Thursday's game at Target Field. 651-989-9105. So. Two contestants right now, 651-989-9105. We'll send you to the Minnesota Twins. This great thing, though, honestly, best sports facts trivia. So it's going to be questions from all over. I mean, from back in the day to new. So check it out. 651-989-9105. We'll be right back.
Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. You're listening to 105 The Ticket.
This is Radioactive Sports on 105 The Ticket. The superstar Mike Morris is off today. Pete Wagner filling in. There you are. Look at you. Giving away Minnesota Twins tickets. I believe we have tickets for Wednesday and Thursday's game. We have a couple of contestants.
Thursday's a day game.
Thursday is a gay game.
It's awesome.
Day game. You're absolutely
perfect
day, right.
Perfect weather.
Oh, it's going to get warmer and warmer. 80s this weekend, and then I want to say next week, though, back into the 60s.
Savage tan.
Yes. Yes, exactly. 651-989-9105. We have two contestants, and there'll be multiple choice questions, as you know how they go, and then you'll be the lifeline. So if anybody has any problems, you ask Pete Wagner if you have any problems.
Okay.
Let's go to, let's see here. Sean from Bloomington.
Hello.
What's up, my man? How are you? You're on 105 The Ticket.
I'm doing good.
Good. Multiple choice questions, three questions, and you have the superstar Pete Wagner.
That works.
If you have a problem, okay? Here's question number one, Sean. The last time the Buffalo Bills made the playoffs, who was the president of the United States? Is it A, Barack Obama, B, George W. Bush, C, George H.W. Bush, or D, Bill Clinton?
Wait, what was the first part of the question again? I wasn't listening.
The last time the Buffalo Bills made the playoffs, who was the president of the United States? Barack Obama, George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton.
Got it.
B.
B, George W. Bush?
Nope, Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton. Correct. That's correct.
Correct.
Okay. Question number two, Sean. Wilt Chamberlain didn't win the MVP award the year he averaged 50.4 points and 22.9 rebounds per game. Who did? Is it A, Bob Cousy, B, Bill Russell, C, Oscar Robertson, or D, Willis Reed?
I'm going to take a wild guess and say C, Oscar Robertson.
Oscar Robertson is incorrect.
I'm going to say D.
You would say D, Willis Reed. That would be incorrect as well.
I wouldn't have been any help there.
That would be B, Bill Russell.
It's too obvious.
One and one. Sean, here we go. Question number three. Remember, you have Pete Wagner as your lifeline. Question three. Which major professional sport has never had a team win the league's championship 3 years in a row? Is it A, the NHL, B, the NFL, C, Major League Baseball, or D, NBA?
Oh, my word.
Well, I would have to guess the NFL on that one.
Can I jump in?
You don't want to ask Pete Wagner, but you don't have to. That's completely fine. NFL is your final answer.
Well, even if I'll talk to Pete about it.
Yeah, can we talk it over?
You can talk it over, sure.
I think I'm thinking back to the NFL with the Packers. Didn't they get was it two or three for them? No.
I think it was two.
Okay, and then what about NFL in the 50s or 60s? I was thinking MLB, but okay, I think let's go NFL.
Sean?
Yeah, NFL.
NFL, it is correct. The NHL has won. They've had a team do it 9 different times. The NBA has done it 10 different times, and Major League Baseball has had a 3 years in a row happen 7 different times.
Do you have the most recent?
I don't. You ask too many questions.
Mm-hmm. I interview people for a living. That's what I do.
All right, Sean, hold on just a second, okay?
He was pretty solid.
Yeah, he's good. Very smart. Very smart listeners. Let's go with Andy in Andover. Hey, Andy, you're on 105 The Ticket.
How you doing, guys?
Pretty good.
Awesome. Thank you. You understand, Andy, I'm worthless and you're on your own, but I'm here.
I kind of heard that, but I've called before and started and helped me out, so hopefully
So the bar is low.
It'll be good.
Yeah, the bar is very low.
It'll be good. 3 questions, all of them multiple choice, of course, and Pete Wagner being your lifeline. Question number one, Andy. In the NFL, which position has the longest average tenure? Is it A, quarterback, B, punter, C, kicker, D, center?
Oh, geez. So longest average, like, year that they play?
Yep, longest
length
average
of career
tenure in the league.
Gosh, I'd almost just think kicker. I think I'll go with kicker.
Kicker?
Yep.
Is incorrect.
Center?
It's actually punter. Oh. 4.87 years on average.
That is it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. Andy from Andover, you have to get 2 correct. Otherwise, it looks like Sean will be the winner.
These are impossible.
All right.
Both of you guys will win tickets to the Twins, though, whether it be tomorrow night or Wednesday.
Everybody wins.
Or Thursday. Question number two. Only 3 men have won the NCAA men's basketball title as both a coach and a player. Which one of these did not? Is it A, Bobby Knight, B, Dean Smith, C, Joby Hall, or D, Bill Self?
Oh, gosh, I would have to guess between the last two, but I've at least heard of Bill Self, that third guy. I never even heard of him. Lifeline, you got any help on this one or no?
Give me the question one more time.
Only 3 men have won the NCAA men's basketball title as both coach and player. Who did not? Is it A, Bobby Knight, B, Dean Smith, C, Joby Hall, or D, Bill Smith, Bill Self, excuse me.
You were talking Bill Self. C is possible, but it seems like what I would go with your gut. Go with D. That's my opinion.
Let's roll with it.
That is correct.
Awesome. Good work.
Whew. I'm back.
You guys make a great team.
All right. That's what happens when you talk it through. A star would have been guessing all over the place.
Imagine that.
He's back tomorrow. Andy from Andover. Question number three. Who is the only team in the NFL to have neither hosted nor played in a Super Bowl? Is it A, the Jacksonville Jaguars, B, the Carolina Panthers, C, the Cleveland Browns, or D, the Detroit Lions?
Well, can you give me the answers one more time?
Yep. Who's the only team in the NFL to have neither hosted nor played in the Super Bowl? A, Jacksonville Jaguars, B, Carolina Panthers, C, Cleveland Browns, D, Detroit Lions.
Gosh, have the Lions ever even been there? I'm trying to think if they have, because I think Jacksonville has with Brunel. Carolina has with Gallome. The Browns. I'm going to go with the fourth one. I got to roll with that.
You're going to go with the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, I don't think they've ever been there.
That's no good. Cleveland Browns have never hosted a Super Bowl, nor have they...
Yeah, I guess the mistake by the lake answers that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's never played, really.
Yeah. Andy from Andover, don't go anywhere. You get to choose whatever Sean from Bloomington doesn't pick. And so, Sean from Bloomington, thanks for calling, man. You either get to go to tomorrow's game or Thursday's game, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right.
I would take that Thursday.
Yes. That's a day game?
Yeah.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Thursday is a night game. Tomorrow is a day game, according to our boss.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'd take the Wednesday game.
coming up next, we'll talk to Tom Schreier, who is calling from Target Field tonight, obviously. The Twins game and the Detroit Tigers is a brand new story, though. It's called Make No Mistake, the Wild are winning because of management and leadership.
Okay.
So... he wrote
the players
that.
Have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I guess not. We'll talk to him about
we'll
it.
We'll find out.
His new article at 105theticket.com. We'll talk to him next. Hang on.